إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Continuing with the class Tazkiyatun Nufus, or Purification of the Soul, we move on to the next thing, the next atonement of the sins, and it is al-musafaha, the shaking of hands, because it has been authentically reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من مسلمين يلتقيان فيتصافحان إلا غفر لهما قبل أن يتفرقا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as he teaches us that which we can do to have our sins forgiven, he says, it's translated, and there is not two Muslims that meet and shake hands except that their sins are forgiven before they separate from one another. That there is not two Muslims who meet one another and shake hands except that their sins are forgiven before they depart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this authentic hadith is showing us that one of the things we can do, one of the very easy things we can do to have our sins forgiven, is that when we meet one another, when we meet each other as Muslims, and we give each other the greetings of Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh, and shake hands, that the simple act of shaking the hands forgives our sins. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there is not two Muslims that meet and shake hands except that they have their sins forgiven before they separate. The next thing is being kind and gentle to animals. That being kind and gentle to animals is a means by which we can have our sins forgiven, as it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي بِطَرِيقٍ إِذِ اشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَطَشُ فَوَجَدَ بِئْرًا فَنَزَلَ فَشَرِبَ وَخَرَجَ فَإِذَا بِكَلْبٍ يَلْهَثُ يَأْكُلُ الثُّرَاهُ مِنَ الْعَطَشِ فقال الرجل لقد بلغ هذا الكلب من العطش مثل الذي بلغ مني فنزل البئر فملأ خفه ثم أمسكه بفيه حتى رقى فسقي الكلب فشكر الله له فغفر له فقالوا يا رسول الله وإن لنا في البهائم لأجرا فقال في كل ذات كبد رطبة أجر. This hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and other than them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that being kind and gentle to animals is a way to have our sins forgiven. As he says, there was a man who was walking down the road when he became extremely thirsty. So he found a well. He went down the well and drank of the water. Then when he came out of the well, he saw a dog who was extremely thirsty, hanging his tongue out of his mouth out of the thirst. So the man said, this dog has reached the level of thirst that I have reached. So he went down to the well again, and he filled his khuf, his leather sock, with water. Then he held the sock in his mouth and climbed up the well, and he gave the dog the water. So Allah thanked him and forgave him of his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanked him for giving that dog something to drink when it was very thirsty, as he was just thirsty before that. So Allah thanked him and forgave him of his sins. They said, O Messenger of Allah, can someone get reward for animals? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every living animal there is reward. For every living animal there is reward. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, is showing us that being kind and gentle to animals, as this man was to a dog, by giving it water to drink when it was very thirsty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanked him and forgave him his sins. So we know that shaking hands, as went past, and being kind and gentle to animals are two of the many ways for a Muslim to have his sins forgiven. Another way that we can have our sins forgiven is to stay away from the major sins and the things that will destroy us. To stay away from the major sins and the things that will destroy us is a way to have our sins forgiven. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Najm, verse 31-32, he says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةً فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse that what is in the heavens and what is in the earth is for Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, in order that he may reward those people who did wrong by what they did, and that he may reward the people who did good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, after he informs us that he owns and possesses everything that is in the heavens and the earth, in order that he may reward the people who did wrong for what they did. And for the people who did good, then he's going to reward them with Al-Husna, and Al-Husna is Jannah. They are those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain, those people who do good, they are those who stay away from the major sins. They are those people who stay away from the major sins and the abominations, except the minor sins. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he has rewarded the people who did good, the people who stayed away from the major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, indeed your Lord is wasi'ul maghfirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely forgiving, that his forgiveness is wide, and his forgiveness encompasses those people who stay away from the major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, and he knows you, because he is the one that created you in the earth. I think I need to look at a translation for this to be sure. 31 on Surah 2 Najm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse, as translated by Muhsin Khan, he knows you well when he created you from the earth, meaning Adam, and when you were fetuses in your mother's wombs. So ascribe not purity to yourselves. This is a very important verse in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, as he translates, so ascribe not purity to yourselves, that it is improper or befitting that a Muslim sanctify himself, or say to anyone that he knows that he has purified himself, that he tells the Muslims, as for me, I fear Allah. As for me, I do what Allah wants me to do. I do what Allah commands me, and I stay away from what Allah commands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows best him who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him. That it is not right for us to go out and to say to the people in a bragging manner that we have purified ourselves, that we have stayed away from the sins, that we have enjoined what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best who fears him. So we should be careful that we don't go around bragging as if we know that we have taqwa. As for me, I got taqwa and I don't do such and such. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who fears him. So we have to be mindful not to sanctify ourselves or purify ourselves in the eyesight of humanity, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who fears him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 31 in Surah An-Nisa, reiterating this point, that whoever stays away from major sins has his sins forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدَخِلَكُمْ مُدَخَلًا كَرِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you stay away from the major sins, that which we have prohibited you from, that which we have made forbidden for you, then we will forgive you of your bad deeds. We will remove your bad deeds from you, and we will enter you a good entering, a noble entering. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's telling us that if we stay away from the major sins, if we stay away from fornication and shirk and adultery, if we stay away from practicing magic, from treating our parents unjustly, if we stay away from all of the major sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to stay away from, whether it be riba or whatever it is, to stay away from those major sins is to have our sins forgiven. To stay away from the major sins is a means to having our sins forgiven. If we used to get high before Islam, when we leave that getting high, that staying away from the major sins of indulging in intoxicants is a means to have your sins forgiven. So staying away from the major sins is another way to have your sins forgiven. Going on to the next thing, trials or calamities or major tests is another means to have our sins forgiven. That having a calamity befall our lives is a means for having our sins forgiven, as it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. يبتل الرجل على حسب دينه، فإن كان في دينه صلبا اشتد بلاؤه، وإن كان في دينه رقة ابتلي حسب دينه، فما يبرح البلاء بالعبد حتى يتركه يمشي على الأرض ما عليه من خطيئة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, which is collected by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Ad-Darimi and Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim and Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people with the most severe trials, the people who have the hardest tests, are the prophets. And then the people who are close to them and following their example. So the people with the most severest trials are the prophets, and then the people according to their deen, as explained. The Prophet ﷺ goes on and says that a man is tested according to his deen. So if his deen is strong, if he's firm in his deen, then his calamity, his trials, his tests will be harder, more difficult. That a person, if his deen is firm and he's strong in his deen, then his trial will be bigger and harder. And if a person is weak in his deen, then he will be tried according to his deen. That he will be tried according to his deen. Meaning the way that by his deen, deen encompasses as Iman and Islam, the way that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a person will be tried, that a servant isn't tried, except that these tests will remove every sin that he has. Let me rephrase that differently. That a person, after being tried, that it leads him to walk on the earth without having any sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to us in this hadith that to be tried and to be tested with a calamity, that this calamity, and it will be according to your deen. If you're strong in your deen, then the calamity will be more severe. And if you're weak in your deen, then it will be according to the weakness in your deen. And that this calamity, when it befalls you, that it won't leave you except to walk on this earth without having any sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith showing us that having a calamity befall us is a way to have our sins forgiven. He says, إِذَا ابْتَدَى اللَّهُ الْعَبْدَ الْمُسْلِمَ بِبَلَاءٍ فِي جَسَدِهِ قَالَ اللَّهُ اُكْتُبْ لَهُ صَالِحَ عَمِلِهِ الَّذِي كَانَ يَعْمِلُهُ فَإِنْ شَفَاهُ غَسَلَهُ وَطَهَّرَهُ وَإِنْ قَبِضَهُ غَفَرَ لَهُ وَرَحِمَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when Allah tests a servant, a Muslim servant, with a calamity in his body, then Allah says, write for him the good deeds that he used to do. And if he cures him, he purifies him. And if he takes his soul, then he forgives him his sins and shows mercy on him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that Allah has told us if he takes our lives from a calamity that befalls us, then he forgives us of our sins. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us in these two hadith that to have a calamity befall us is a way to have our sins forgiven. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith, also collected by Imam Ahmed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ إِنِّي إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنًا فَحَمِدَنِي عَلَى مَا ابْتَلَيْتُهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَقُومُ مِنْ مَضْجَعِهِ ذَلِكَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا وَيَقُولُ الرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنَا قَيَّدْتُ عَبْدِي وَابْتَلَيْتُهُ this word is giving me a problem here. وَأَجْرُ and I rewarded him. وَأَجْرُ لَهُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَجْرُونَ لَهُ وَهُوَ صَحِيحُ وَأَجْرُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, indeed Allah Azza wa Jal says, if I have tested my servant, my believing servant, with a calamity, and he praises me for that which I have tested him with, then he gets up from his place where he was lying, like the day that his mother gave birth to him, free from sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this magnificent hadith that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal says, if I test one of my servants, one of my believing slaves, with a calamity, and he praises me for that which I have tested him with, then he won't get up from his place of rest, except that he's like the day that his mother gave birth to him, free from sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, and your Lord Azza wa Jal says, and I have tested him and rewarded him just as I rewarded him when he was healthy. Inshallah ta'ala. This hadith was giving me a little problems here, and inshallah that translation is correct.
On the other hand, couldn't a strong calamity turn a person into
the brother is asking, couldn't a calamity also make a person go the other way, meaning not to praise Allah from the calamity that befell him? I don't understand the question. He's saying, couldn't a person fail the test of not praising Allah and being patient with his calamity? What we're dealing with here in our class is we're showing the things that if a person does or says, that he will have his sins forgiven. And we began today's class by saying that to shake hands with the Muslims is a means for having our sins forgiven. To be kind and gentle with animals is a means for having our sins forgiven. To stay away from the major sins is a means for having our sins forgiven. To have a calamity before us and praise Allah is to have our sins forgiven. As far as the person who has a calamity before him and he doesn't praise Allah and he's not patient with that calamity, then we're not talking about that person tonight. And we're talking about the person who is patient and praises Allah for the calamity that befalls him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these authentic hadith shows us that he will have his sins forgiven. The next thing that we can do to have our sins forgiven is to make wudu. As it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, man tawadda'a fa ahsana al-wudu'a خرجت خطاياه من جسده حتى تخرج من تحت أظفاره. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim that whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu, then his sins will fall from his body, even the sins from underneath his fingernails. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this authentic hadith that whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu, then his sins will fall from his body, even from underneath his fingernails. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says in another hadith collected by Imam Muslim, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمُ أَوْ الْمُؤْمِنُ فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ خَرَجَ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ كُلَّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنَيْهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ خَرَجَ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ كَانَ بَطَشَتْهَا يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ فَإِذَا غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ خَرَجَتْ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ مَشَتْهَا رِجْلَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim that if a Muslim or a believing slave makes wudu, when he washes his face, then all of the sins that he incurred by looking with his two eyes that were on his face will be removed with the water or with the last drop of water. Let me try to say that again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if a Muslim or a believing slave makes wudu, then he washes his face, then every sin that he committed with his two eyes on his face will fall off or be removed with the water or the last drop of water. And if he washes his hands, then the sins that his hands committed will fall off with the water or with the last drop of water. And if he washes his feet, and if he washes his feet, then the sins that he committed from walking with his two feet will fall off with the water or with the last drop of water until all of his sins are forgiven and he's purified. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us also in this authentic hadith that to make wudu, that to make a good wudu is to have our sins forgiven, that the sins will be wiped away with the water of the wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says in another authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood in An-Nasa'i, he says, "Man tawadda," he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man tawadda فأحسن الوضوء ثم راح فوجد الناس قد صلوا أعطاه الله مثل أجر من صلاها وحضرها لا ينتقص ذلك من أجره شيئا." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith that whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu, and then he goes to the masjid and he finds that people have already made salah, then Allah will give him the reward that he gave the people who made the salah, and that reward won't be decreased, and that reward that he gets won't be decreased at all. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this hadith that whoever makes a wudu, a good wudu, and goes to the masjid and finds that the people have already made salah, then he will get the reward that the people have made salah. And we're going to see in the chapters coming that salah, that performing salah in the jama'ah, in the masjid, is a way to have our sins forgiven. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that whoever makes a good wudu and goes to the masjid and finds that the people have already made salah, then he will get the same reward that the people who made the salah with the imam. And in this hadith is hinting, or is one of the proofs to show us, that if we come to the masjid and we find that the people have already made the salah, then we don't have to form another jama'ah to get the reward of the first jama'ah. But that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us in this hadith that he gets the exact same reward of the people of the first jama'ah. So if we make a good wudu in our house and we go to the masjid and we find that the people have already made the salat, then we make our salat individually as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in the narration and his companions, or we either go back to our house and make the salat with our families and we get the exact same reward that the people who made the salat with the imam got. This is for the people who made the wudu and they went to the masjid with the intentions on making the salat with the jama'ah, but when they got there they found that the people had already missed the jama'ah. So it's not necessary that we form another jama'ah to get the reward of the first jama'ah, because there's only one jama'ah, and that is the jama'ah that makes the salat with the imam. The people that made the salat when the adhan was called and the iqamah was made and the imam led the salat, that jama'ah is the jama'ah, and that there's not a second jama'ah, and that the earliest scholars of Islam all agree that this is the position that is most authentic, that if the salat has already been made with the imam, that we don't form second jama'ahs and third jama'ahs, but we make our salat individually and we don't lose any reward, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, that whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu, then he goes to the masjid and he finds that the people have already made salat, then Allah will give him the same reward as the people who have already made the salat, and his reward won't decrease anything. So the Prophet sallallahu Yes, the brother's asking me, if we came to the masjid and we found that the people had already made salat and we went home and made salat with our family, then am I saying that we get the same reward as the people who made the salat with the imam? That's exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, because there's a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home from a journey and he went into the masjid to make the salat and he found that the people had already made salat, so he went back to his house and he made the salat with his family. And there's also authentic narrations on some of the companions, and I think one of them is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that he and his companions went to the masjid and found that the people had already made salat. So he took his companions back to his house, the Tabi'een, and they made the Jama'ah in Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's house. So yes, that whoever comes to the masjid and finds that the people have already made Salat, and he goes back home and makes Salat, then he gets the same reward as the people who made the Salat. Yes, there's a question in the back. Yes, that's going to come, inshallah. That's going to come in one of the future chapters, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says in another authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tawadda'a kama umira وَصَلَّى كَمَا أُمِرَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ. And in another narration, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that whoever makes wudu as he has been ordered to, whoever makes wudu as he has been ordered to. And this is an explanation of what we have said in the past, and we said whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu. And a good wudu is the wudu that we have been ordered to make. And alhamdulillah that there has been a book that has been translated the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in English, that everyone should be keen to read that book so that they can know the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they can fulfill this hadith and have their sins forgiven. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us here, whoever makes the wudu as he has been commanded. And in that book, inshallah, it shows the wudu that we have been commanded to make. And he makes salat as he has been commanded. And we can look at the book written by Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, The Prescribed Prayer, to find out the salat, how to make the salat that we have been commanded to make. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, that I command you to make salat the way you've seen me make salat. So the book, The Prescribed Prayer by Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, can show us in detail the prescribed way to make the salah. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, whoever makes the wudu as he has been ordered to, and then makes salat as he has been ordered, then Allah will forgive him for all of the deeds he has previously done. And in another narration, Allah will forgive him of all the sins that he has previously done. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in these authentic hadith that a way that we can have our sins forgiven is to make a good wudu, to make the wudu that we have been commanded to make. And here in another last hadith, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man tawadda'a mithla wudu'i hadha ثم قام فصلى ركعتين لا يحدث فيها نفسه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in this authentic hadith that whoever makes wudu the way I have made wudu, then he stands up and makes two rak'ah, not bothering himself, not being distracted in these two rak'ah, then he will have all of his previous sins forgiven. That whoever makes the wudu the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu, and then makes two rak'ahs, not distracting himself in these two rak'ahs, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day when he was shown Jannah, that he heard the footsteps of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu in Jannah. And he asked Bilal radiallahu anhu, what did he do? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to know, what did Bilal radiallahu anhu do to earn him a place in Jannah? And Bilal radiallahu anhu told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in authentic hadith that he has never made wudu except that he made two rak'ahs after his wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is showing us that whoever makes the wudu and then makes two rak'ahs, not distracting himself in these two rak'ahs, then he has his past sins forgiven. So a way to have our past sins forgiven is to make wudu and then make two rak'ahs after that wudu. And that it is recommended from this hadith that every time we make wudu, we should try our best to make two rak'ahs after wudu. And that these two rak'ahs, if we do them properly, then inshallah we can have our past sins forgiven. So whoever makes wudu should try to be keen to make two rak'ahs after his wudu, because he can have his past sins forgiven. And this is what earned Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu Jannah. And maybe we could advise some of the people who feel that our condition here in America is like the condition of Bilal radiallahu anhu, that we can advise them that among the things that he used to do was to make the wudu the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and then make two rak'ahs after his wudu, and that this is one of the ways that we can have our sins forgiven. So just reiterating, going back to what we began with, that shaking hands is a way to have our sins forgiven, and being kind and gentle to animals is a way to having our sins forgiven. And staying away from the major sins is a way to have our sins forgiven. And to have a be, a calamity, a trial, a severe test befall us is a way to have our sins forgiven. Keeping in mind that everyone's test is according to his deeds. So if we look at our lives and we see that we aren't seriously tested, then we should know that our deen isn't too serious. And that if we have major tests, big tests in our lives, tests that we don't know how in the world we're going to make it over this test, then know that inshallah it's a sign of being firm in our deen. Because people are only tested according to their deen. And we went on to say that wudu is a way to have our sins forgiven, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us in the various hadiths, that making a wudu, a good wudu, the wudu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, is a way to have our sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also shows us that the mu'adhan is one who has his sins forgiven. That making the adhan is the way to have our sins forgiven, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith that was collected by Al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan. And other than Bayhaqi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ الْمُؤَذِّنَ يُكْفَرُ لَهُ مَدَى صَوْتِهِ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ كُلُّ رُطَبٍ وَيَابِسٍ سَمِعَ صَوْتَهُ وَالشَّاهِدُ عَلَيْهِ لَهُ 25 دَرَجَةً. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us in this authentic hadith that the mu'adhin has his sins forgiven the length that his voice reaches. When he makes the adhan and a loud voice, however far that voice reaches, to that distance, he has his sins forgiven. And that everything wet and dry that hears that adhan testifies to the truth of the adhan. That everything wet and dry that hears the adhan, yusaddiquhu, bears witness or testifies to the truth of the adhan. And that for this testification that he makes when making the adhan, then he has 25 levels. Then for him is 25 levels for making that testification that he makes in the for making the adhan, or in making the adhan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this authentic hadith that the mu'adhin is forgiven his sins the length that his voice reaches, for the distance that his voice reaches. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also tells us that salat, that the making of salat is a means for having our sins forgiven, is in a way for atonement of our sins. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith in Bukhari, collected by Bukhari and Muslim, he says, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهَرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَغْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا مَا تَقُولُ ذَلِكَ تَبْدَلْ مِنْ دَرْنِهِ أَوْ مِنْ دَرْنِهِ قالوا لا يبقى من درنه شيئا قال فذلك مثل الصلوات الخمس يمحو الله به الخطايا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith, rather he questions, do you see that a person who has a river in front of his door, do you see anyone from among you who has a river in front of his door that he cleans himself 5 times a day, would there be any dirt left on him? They said, there won't be any dirt left on him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is the example of the 5 salat, that Allah will forgive all of his sins, wipe away all of his bad deeds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, just as if one of us has a river in front of his doorway that he cleans himself 5 times a day, that it will keep the dirt off of him. Likewise, if we make the 5 compulsory salat a day, then Allah will remove from us our bad deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة كفارة لما بينهن ما لم تفشي الكبائر. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this hadith that the 5 salah, and from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, is an atonement for that which is in between the two, or between them, so long as he stays away from major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us here that the 5 salah and one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah is an atonement for his sins, so long as he stays away from the major sins. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these 2 authentic hadiths is showing us that the making or the establishing of the salah, the 5 salah, is to have our sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to detail a part of the salah as he shows us that making sujood is a way for us to have our sins forgiven. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and other than him, Ya Aba Fatima, أكثر من السجود فإن له ليس من مسلم يسجد لله سجدة إلا رفعه الله تبارك وتعالى بها درجة في الجنة وحط عنه بها خطيئة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling one of his companions, Abu Fatima, make a lot of sujood, because there is not a Muslim that makes a sujood, a prostration, a sajda to Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tabaraka wa ta'ala, raises him a level in Jannah and removes from him his sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging Abu Fatima as he encourages the Muslims to make a lot of sujood, to make a lot of authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood and practiced by the companions and the tabi'een and the tabi' tabi'een and those people who followed them in their practice and their understanding of the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We notice that some people, after they make salah, then they just go into sujood. This extra sujood is a bid'ah. It has not been prescribed. It is not permissible for any Muslim just to make a sajda anytime he feels. But making a sajda is an act of worship, and any act of worship has to be done in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith encourages us to make a lot of sajda. But he didn't leave us alone with just saying, make a lot of sajda. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how and when to make the sajda. We know that we're supposed to make the sajda in our salah. So every sajda that we make in our salah, then inshallah Allah ta'ala will raise us one level in Jannah and forgive us of our sins. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to make prostration, then this is an encouragement to make the salah, because in the salah we make the prostration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also indirectly encouraging us to read the Quran, because in reading the Quran there are times when we prostrate, when we come across a verse of prostration in the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is indirectly encouraging us to read the Quran in order that we may come across the verses with the prostration, so that we may make the sajdatul tilawa, the prostration for reading the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also showed us an authentic hadith that if good news ever came to him, then he will fall down in prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And they say in some of the narrations that when this good news came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made this prostration, sajda to shukr, that he was staying there so long that they would think that he fell unconscious. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing good news, bam, fell in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and would stay in sajda so long thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his companions would think that he was unconscious. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's encouraging us to make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has also taught us how to make sajda, and that is in our salah, when the recitation of the Quran or if good news comes to us, with sajda to shukr. But it's not that the Muslims use this general hadith where the Prophet ﷺ encourages us to make a sajda, and to make a sajda anytime he feels like it. But that a sajda, making a prostration, is the act of worship, and each act of worship must be done in accordance with the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that to make a sajda is a way to be raised a level in Jannah and to have our sins forgiven. So all of us sometimes, we should remind ourselves, and we shouldn't be shy, but we should be proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam and showed us how to worship Him properly, so that when good news comes to us, and good news does come to us, then we can fall in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for guiding one of our parents to Islam, or for guiding our brother and sister to Islam, or giving us that job, or helping us stay away from a sin, or giving us that sister in marriage. That whenever that good news comes to us, then we can be mindful to follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to fall in prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to thank Him for blessing us with whatever He has blessed us with. Another way to have our sins forgiven is walking to the houses of Allah to make salah in the jama'ah. Walking to the houses of Allah to make the salah in the jama'ah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari. I think it's getting close time to Maghrib, and today is Monday, and some of the Muslims are fasting. So we'll stop here and resume after Salat and give everyone a chance to break their fast. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Amma ba'd. We were saying before the Salat that among the things that are atonement for our sins is shaking hands, being kind and gentle to animals, staying away from the major sins, having a calamity befall us, or a severe trial or test, making wudu, being the mu'adhin or calling the adhan, making salah and making sujood or prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we continue to repeat these things so that we can memorize them and be mindful of that which we can do to have our sins forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been merciful to us in that He has showed us many different ways or many approaches that we can take to have our sins forgiven. So we should try to do our best to memorize the different ways upon which we can have our sins forgiven, in order that every chance we can, take advantage of, we will, in order to have our sins forgiven. With that, we were at walking to the houses of Allah for the Salat in Jama'ah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, which is collected by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Salatu al-rajuli fi jama'atin tud'ifu salatahu fi baytihi wa suqihi 25 dha'fa. وذلك أنه إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم خرج إلى المسجد لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة لم يخط خطوة إلا رفعت له بها درجة وحط عنه بها خطيئة فإذا صلى لم تزل الملائكة تصلي عليه ما دام في مصلاه اللهم صل عليه اللهم ارحمه ولا يزال أحدكم في صلاة من تضر الصلاة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that the salat of a person in jama'ah exceeds the salah of a person in his house or in his place of work by 25 times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that the salah of a person in jama'ah is 25 times more better than the salah of a person in his house or in his place of work, or the marketplace. Fi suqihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to tell us, and that is because when you make wudu and make a good wudu and then you walk out to the masjid, that nothing's making you go to the masjid except the salah, then you don't take a step except that Allah raises you a level and forgives you a sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this portion of the hadith is explaining what he means when he says that the salat of a man or the salat of a person, in the hadith it uses the text a man, salat al-rajul, that the salat of a man in jama'ah, that jama'ah is in the masjid. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, he says in the beginning that the salah of a person in jama'ah, referring to the salah in the masjid, is 25 times better than the salah of a person in his house or in the souk or his workplace. That is because he makes wudu and makes a good wudu, and then he walks, goes out to the masjid, and nothing makes him go to the masjid except the salah, so that for every step he takes, Allah raises him a level and forgives for him a bad deed or a sin that he committed. So this salat that is 25 times better is the salat in the masjid. Not the jama'ah that's not in the masjid, but the jama'ah in the masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that when he makes salat, that the angels never stop making prayer for him so long as he is in the place of salat. So long as he is in the musalla. And that was the answer to one of the questions that had come earlier. Do the angels pray for the people? So the angels pray for the people who remain in the places of salah. This hadith is the answer to that question. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that they say, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma arhamhu. O Allah, salli alayhi. I don't know how I would translate that here. and Allahumma arhamhu, and Allah show mercy on him. So the angels are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the person making salah and being in the musalla. They're asking Allah to show mercy on them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say at the end of the hadith, and that no one will be waiting for the salah, that no one, or let me rephrase that, that the person who is waiting for the salah is as if he's in the salah. وَلَا يَزَالُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاةٍ مَنْتَظَرَ الصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that no one will cease to be in salah so long as he is waiting for the salah. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ shows us that walking to the masjid to make the salah in the jama'ah is a means for having our sins forgiven and to be raised a level. I think with that, that's the end of the class, and then we'll just summarize that which we covered last week among the things that you can do to have your sins forgiven, so that we can keep following those things that we can do or say to have our sins forgiven. The first thing, yeah. Yeah. Alright, the part that I didn't translate, that the angels, when they make dua on them, they say, oh Allah, forgive him, oh Allah, show mercy on him. So among the things that we can do to have our sins forgiven is first to accept Islam. The second thing is to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third thing is repentance, to repent to Allah. And then the fourth thing is generosity. And then following a good deed up with a bad deed. And then giving the salam and speaking kindly. And then to that which we've covered today, shaking hands and being kind and gentle to animals, and staying away from the major sins, and having a severe trial before you, and making wudu, and making the adhan, and making salah, and making prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and walking to the masjid for the salah and the jama'ah. So these are some of the things that we can do to have our sins forgiven, which has been based on the authentic Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I had a long and rough day, so it was kind of rough for me to give the lesson, and I wasn't prepared. So I ask you to forgive me. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for any mistakes that was in the lesson, and to make me stronger in the coming lessons, and to forgive all of us of our sins, and to allow us to know and learn the ways that we can have our sins forgiven and to practice them. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Concerning the salah in the jama'ah, or the salah in the masjid, then there are various narrations authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything that has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth. So whatever narration that we read, that we come across, that has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we take that narration.
Earlier on you mentioned the word Swat Iwa Ma Kira.
ayat number 31 or 32 in Surah An-Najm. Brother is asking, is it okay to have this type of spirituality or purification so long as we don't brag about it, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى, and don't sanctify yourselves or don't make yourselves holy in the sight of the people. Allah knows best who has taqwa. Allah knows best who fears Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is prohibiting us from going around bragging how good we are, how much taqwa we have, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best who fears Him. So that though we're learning how to have our sins forgiven and how to worship Allah properly, that we don't go around bragging as if we're among the better people and we know we're going to Jannah. We know that we have taqwa, and we know about ourselves, and we know about ourselves. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who fears Him. But that as individuals, what we do is, we do our best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows who among us fears Him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in this authentic hadith as translated, whoever makes wudu and makes a good wudu, then he goes out to the masjid and he finds that the people have made salah, then Allah will give him the reward that He gave those who made the salah, and his reward won't decrease at all. I was saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us in this hadith that it's not necessary when we come to the masjid and we find that the people have already made salah to establish a second jama'ah as to get the reward of the first jama'ah. As if we're to say that if we made salah individually, why should we make it individually when we can form a second jama'ah to get the reward of the jama'ah? But that the one who makes the wudu and goes to the masjid and finds that the people have already made the salah, then he gets the reward of them for making the wudu and going to catch the jama'ah. Is it clear? Okay. Just a minute. The brother is asking on the narration that the Prophet ﷺ heard the footsteps of Bilal in Jannah radiallahu anhu. He's saying, did he hear those footsteps in front of him or before him? And yes, inshallah, that the footsteps that he heard was before him. Nah. those people that Allah has led astray, who interpret the Quran and the Sunnah on their own desires, then it's not even for us to worry ourselves with the people who take the Quran and the Sunnah and just give it any understanding that they like. There is no need for us to burden ourselves with making a refutation on the people who come 1400 years later and to take the Quran and to understand it the way they like. But we're calling the Muslims to understand and to be able to practice that Quran and the Sunnah the way that the Salaf practiced the Quran and the Sunnah. I don't know if that's relating to Bilal, but when the part of the class comes to those things that we can do, Ya Rahmakallah, those things that we can do to enter into Jannah, then one of the hadiths will be a man, and I don't remember his name, but I don't think it's Bilal. I don't remember who it was right now among the Sahaba, but he said that he didn't go to sleep with anything in his chest pertaining to the Muslims. I'm not sure who he is right now, but it's not Bilal, and we're going to cover that hadith, inshallah ta'ala. The brother is asking us, is there any way that we should shake the hand? As I said before, that this class is designed to help us purify ourselves, to help us clean up ourselves in order that we can get closer to Allah, in order that we may do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I didn't want to get involved in the details of the issues, but to say that shaking your hands is to have your sins forgiven. If you shake your hands with one hand, or you shake hands with two hands, you have shaken hands, and to shake hands is to have your sins forgiven. We didn't want to make this a fifth class or to be technical in the manner, the way you do something, unless it was mentioned in the hadith. We just wanted to be simple and general and encouraging to the brothers, to the Muslims, brothers and sisters, that we do that which we can do to have our sins forgiven. No. The brother is asking, does that apply to hugging? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma min muslimaini yaltaqiyani fayatasafahani illa ghufira lahuma qabla an yatafarraqa." Prophet tells us, there is not two Muslims that meet one another and shake hands except that their sins are forgiven before they depart. I just wanted to make a note. So as far as hugging is concerned, it wasn't mentioned in the hadith, just the shaking of the hands. I wanted to mention, and I forgot, when we were dealing with walking to the masjid, walking to the houses of Allah, to make the salah in the jama'ah is a means to have our sins forgiven. Many of us live a 10 minute car drive or a 15 minute car drive away from the masjid, which would be equivalent to an hour and a half, or a 2 hour walk, depending on how fast he walks. And who among us can give an hour and a half or 2 hours or an hour every day to walk to the masjid for the five salah? So I'm just going to add that what I benefit from this hadith personally is that it's implying that we should be a community, as stated in many other texts, where we live close to the masjid, walking distance of the masjid. Whether it's a far walk or a short walk, it's a walk. And many of us wouldn't consider an hour walk or a 2 hour walk a walk to the masjid, but it's a 5 minute or a 10 minute drive to the masjid. So we should be mindful, and we should try to do our best that if we find vacancies near the masjid, not to ask who needs a place, but to ask who's going to be the one to give up his place and take that place closer to the masjid, so that we can get the benefit of walking to the masjid and be a closer jama'ah, inshallah. And if that is for the questions, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.